Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Yahweh, Our Healer. I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. Then Moses led Israel from the desert sea, or from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed and a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Verse 27. Then they came to Edom, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Chapter 16, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." To discuss this morning with this radio family the importance of understanding who Yahweh is and what he requires of us, who confess that we belong to him. The confession of belonging to Yahweh is very pregnant and poignant. And therefore, we are to live as such. I know that we are embedded in Western culture, and so therefore we impose Western thought forms upon the scripture. And let me say that these thought forms can be both advantageous and disadvantageous. they can be advantageous for us, as Western thought forms, that they help us to appreciate in a cognitive manner, in a deep and rich cognitive manner, the teachings of the scripture. Indeed, our hermeneutical approach, that is the science of biblical interpretation, is enriched by our Western tradition to some extent. But then there are hindrances as well, and so we keep a balance when we talk about culture, both the advantages of culture and the disadvantages of culture. Because here in the scripture that we have just read, notice its contextual setting. This, of course, this event, the event of the waters of Marah, and even take place after the very powerful deliverance from Pharaoh and his picked men, that is, those the ones whom he has specifically chosen to accompany him in his pursuit of the Hebrews. So chapter 15 begins with this song of praise and thanksgiving for the deliverance of Yahweh. Chapter 15, the first few verses read, chapter 15, verse 1, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider. Notice the language. A horse and its rider, he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my Yeshua, my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. And I love verse 3. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And so here is another reference in the scripture to the divine warrior. The divine warrior motif will occur throughout the Old Testament. Indeed, one sees the culmination of the divine warrior motif in Revelation chapter 19. With the return of the glorified Christ, who will at that point collapse the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so in chapter 15, verse 3, we read, the Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. So see the refrain from verse 1. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Earlier I said that these were Pharaoh's chosen ones, his hand-picked ones. So here's another reference there to that fact. The deep waters have covered them. They sink to the depths like a stone. Now, this is very interesting and fascinating to me because in one class in seminary, it was suggested that the place where the Israelites crossed, the water was merely ankle deep. And so we go back to the scripture and believe opinion where it is. That was an opinion. It was also suggested by one of my professors that it was not necessary to believe in the virgin conception of Yeshua. And I stated to the professor that maybe it was not important for him. But the virgin conception and the subsequent virgin birth are a pivotal doctrine of Scripture. It is important to note we're talking about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. So these great and pivotal doctrines of Scripture are attacked, maybe not in a malicious fashion, but because persons have been under a particular tutelage, they've come to adopt virulent views of Scripture that are neither supported nor helpful in any manner. But let's go on. Verse 5, the deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like double. By the blast of your nostrils, I love this, by the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up or congealed. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. Notice the language. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. Now, the physics of this event is beyond our understanding. The suspension of the normal hydrodynamic process and what was going on was suspended by God. It is beyond our understanding. This was indeed a miraculous event. Now, I'm not going to say it was God entered into the normal cosmology and reversed or suspended the laws of nature. These are the laws of Yahweh. These are Yahweh's laws. He is the creator. And so we note verse 9, the enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils. Remember, the Israelites had received over 300 years of back wages. They got paid, pay they came, and God made certain that his people were paid for all those centuries of slavery. You read in the scripture that Israel spoiled the Egyptians. Notice, I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. Verse 10, but you blew with your breath, the divine breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. This is, again, a reference to Genesis chapter 1. And it pictures pre-creation and Tiham and the mythical dragon that opposed creation. But Yahweh, through his spirit in Genesis 1, overcame the mythical creature of chaos. And he created the heaven and the earth. Sure. And so this is a very powerful picture. Verse 11. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. Notice verse 13. In your unfailing Hassad. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. And mind you, verse 15, the people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. how these cities, these great city-states, were sophisticated late Bronze Age cultures of the ancient world. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you bought pass by. Notice the language, people you bought, a reference to redemption. Redemption means to buy back or to purchase. The Lord our Redeemer, the Lord our Purchaser, the one who redeemed us out of the slave market or the marketplace of sin. The one who chose us, that is speaking of the people of ancient Israel. And also in Ephesians chapter 1, we were chosen in him before the slinging down of the universe into nothing. We have come to learn that the universe itself, the cosmos itself, is merely a standing wave function imposed upon void. That there is no solid anything. And early in the 19th century, physicists had come to understand that the universe seems to be that of the production of infinite mind. Infinite mind. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. And so the theology of the first part of Exodus 15 is very penetrating and very deep. They are astonished. They are taken aback. They are deeply impressed and impacted by what their eyes have seen. And so the response is very powerful on their part to what Yahweh has allowed them to see. The success that they experience under him. They know that God is for them, and that God has blessed them. But please note what happens. In verse 20, Miriam, the prophetess, one of the few references in the Old Testament to female prophet, then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." This wonderful theology is all before the time of testing. It is in testing, that is, when God tests us, that we understand our mettle, that we get insight into ourselves. Testing is designed to show us who we are. This wonderful theology now is going to be put to the test. Their confession at the Red Sea, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the desert to sea, from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur for 3 days. They traveled in the desert without finding water. Notice the circumstances. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Here's the test. 3 days without water. They, and notice, they went into the desert of Shur. They are in the desert place. And this place is a picture of the human heart without Christ. Notice what occurs at this point, verse 23. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So that there was that hope, that expectation that we have found the answer and that we will be saved. We have found water. But then there is disappointment. The water cannot be consumed. The water cannot quench their thirst. That which we pursue in the flesh will never satisfy. That which we pursue and gather to ourselves on our own will never satisfy. And this experience, of course, created discouragement and anxiety within their hearts. And so, notice the reaction. In verse 24, we read, "So the people grumbled." This is a very interesting word in the Hebrew because this word in Hebrew, lun, means to stay the night, to dwell an indeterminable amount of time. There are seven lun or grumbling accounts in the scriptures. And these accounts take place between the Exodus event and the conquest. And we will find that these events are a rejection of the history of liberation that has been divinely given and therefore its future. Here we see that lun is a cause of sin. It creates blindness and impatience that leads to the misunderstanding of God. Lun or grumbling is lack of faith. It is, and lack of faith creates reactions to the divine will. And so, verse 24, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And notice what Moses does in response to the grumbling of the people. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him, not to the community, but the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There, the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, that is the Lord said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. It is imperative to note that God takes gracious care of his people while they follow him in the path of obedience. God takes gracious care of his people because God loves his people. God wants his people to practice listening, or Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, listening to him. Here is prescriptive or a prescription from God for their spiritual health. Here is the divine prescription given in verse 26. The divine prescription is not written on a pot shirt, is not written on a piece of vellum or antelope skin, is not written on papyrus. He speaks to the heart. The prescription that he gives should be written upon the heart of the individual. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, this is very different from Western culture. This is not talk therapy. This is God's prescription for listening so that there may be complete health in the hearts of his people. We read in verse 24, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. And this piece of wood is a picture of the living Christ, the bitter waters of life, the challenges of life. That which is poisonous to us is made sweet by the person of Christ. When Moses goes before the Lord, he intercedes on behalf of the people. Christ is the center. He must be the center of our lives. And the bitter waters that we encounter in life, those things that are disagreeable, that hurt, that seems to bring ruin or even decay, the living Christ changes through his presence. Grace is transformative. What Christ gives, what Christ brings, who Christ is transformative. Our experiences are transformed through him. The interpretation that we give our experiences before Christ are changed when he comes into our lives. We will not be in line. We will not stay the night in an experience that we feel torn us apart. We will not stay at the bitter waters. We will be able to move on because of the living Christ. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Metacast. Have a wonderful day.